Posloucháte testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud neslyšíte nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznamte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
Počúvate testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud nepočujete nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznámte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
English exam, section 1, listening. Part 1. You will hear a text which is followed by several tasks. You will be given time to look through the relevant tasks before you listen. You will hear the recording twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 1 minute to look at tasks 1 to 6.
When I was 15 years old, I went to Sunday Mass with my mother. During the service, a bat flew in and members of the congregation began flapping at it. An usher eventually hit it with a prayer book and it fell to the floor. I could see it was only stunned, so being an animal lover, I decided to take it outside. As I went to throw it into a bush, it sank its fangs into my left finger and I felt a sharp pain. My parents weren't pleased, but no one thought anything more about it. 3 weeks later, I started feeling tired and nauseous. About 24 hours later, I had double vision and my family took me to hospital, where rabies was diagnosed. I was infected by the bat which I was trying to help. From that point on, my memory is virtually blank. I later learned that I began producing masses of saliva. My parents were told I had hours to live. No one had ever survived rabies without a vaccination, but Dr. Rodney Willoughby, an infectious disease specialist, decided he had to do something. He consulted various books and came up with an impromptu treatment. He made it clear he had no idea whether it would work, but my parents agreed to give it a go. I was put into a coma to isolate my brain and allow my immune system to fight the virus. A week later, they slowly brought me out of the coma. I was too weak to open my eyes, but when Dr. Willoughby held my eyelids open and told me to look over at my mum, I did. Mum was elated because it showed that I was still in there. I had become the first known person ever to survive rabies without a vaccination. The treatment became known as the Milwaukee Protocol. I spent 11 weeks in hospital and rehabilitation took months because the whole left side of my body was affected. I had balance issues and my speech was badly impaired. Over a decade on, one side of my body still reacts more slowly than the other, but overall I'm healthy. I have become an ambassador for the Global Alliance for Rabies Control, where I give lectures about the disease to raise awareness. When I was 15 years old, I went to Sunday Mass with my mother. During the service, a bat flew in and members of the congregation began flapping at it. An usher eventually hit it with a prayer book and it fell to the floor. I could see it was only stunned, so being an animal lover, I decided to take it outside. As I went to throw it into a bush, it sank its fangs into my left finger and I felt a sharp pain. My parents weren't pleased, but no one thought anything more about it. 3 weeks later, I started feeling tired and nauseous. About 24 hours later, I had double vision and my family took me to hospital, where rabies was diagnosed. I was infected by the bat, which I was trying to help. From that point on, my memory is virtually blank. I later learned that I began producing masses of saliva. My parents were told I had hours to live. No one had ever survived rabies without a vaccination, but Dr. Rodney Willoughby, an infectious disease specialist, decided he had to do something. He consulted various books and came up with an impromptu treatment. He made it clear he had no idea whether it would work, but my parents agreed to give it a go. I was put into a coma to isolate my brain and allow my immune system to fight the virus. A week later, they slowly brought me out of the coma. I was too weak to open my eyes, but when Dr. Willoughby held my eyelids open and told me to look over at my mum, I did. Mum was elated because it showed that I was still in there. I had become the first known person ever to survive rabies without a vaccination. The treatment became known as the Milwaukee Protocol. I spent 11 weeks in hospital and rehabilitation took months because the whole left side of my body was affected. I had balance issues and my speech was badly impaired. Over a decade on, one side of my body still reacts more slowly than the other, but overall I'm healthy. I have become an ambassador for the Global Alliance for Rabies Control, where I give lectures about the disease to raise awareness.
You now have 1 minute to solve tasks 1 to 6. Part 2. You will hear a series of short, unrelated extracts. There is one task for each extract. You'll be given time to read the relevant task before you listen. You will hear each extract twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 7.
Some say the good old days were in the 50s. However, the world had just suffered unimaginable genocide. In the 1950s, extreme violence continued, largely unnoticed, as countries tried to rebuild. Cities were in ruins, and large swathes of the population were experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder. At the same time, film was cheap and a perfect way to connect with the population. So, documentary or newsreel films were heavily used as propaganda to paint positive pictures of rebuilding and hope. Today, we look at these jolly black and white films with their upbeat music and cheerful commentary as if they are factual records of the time, but they're not. We really should stop saying how much better everything was back then in the so-called good old days. Some say the good old days were in the 50s. However, the world had just suffered unimaginable genocide. In the 1950s, extreme violence continued, largely unnoticed, as countries tried to rebuild. Cities were in ruins, and large swathes of the population were experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder. At the same time, film was cheap and a perfect way to connect with the population. So, documentary or newsreel films were heavily used as propaganda to paint positive pictures of rebuilding and hope. Today, we look at these jolly black and white films with their upbeat music and cheerful commentary as if they are factual records of the time, but they're not. We really should stop saying how much better everything was back then in the so-called good old days.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 8.
My daughter was dressed very tastefully. The waitress complimented her impeccable manners and lamented the fact that she regularly sees tablet-toting kids who don't know to take off their baseball caps or to say please and thank you. She gave my daughter a children's menu and left. My daughter glanced at the offerings of spaghetti and chicken tenders, wrinkling her nose. She then peered over at my brunch menu and asked for the lemon ricotta pancakes. She ate all of them, savouring the fresh berries and real whipped cream. She also tasted my Nutella praline pancakes, delicately dabbing at the corners of her mouth with a napkin. My daughter was dressed very tastefully. The waitress complimented her impeccable manners and lamented the fact that she regularly sees tablet-toting kids who don't know to take off their baseball caps or to say please and thank you. She gave my daughter a children's menu and left. My daughter glanced at the offerings of spaghetti and chicken tenders, wrinkling her nose. She then peered over at my brunch menu and asked for the lemon ricotta pancakes. She ate all of them, savouring the fresh berries and real whipped cream. She also tasted my Nutella praline pancakes, delicately dabbing at the corners of her mouth with a napkin.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 9. Astra, can you explain the philosophy behind unschooling?
Most people have an idea of what homeschooling is. It's having school at home. Unschooling is sort of a radical cousin to that, and the idea essentially is that we are learning animals. That's a phrase from John Holt, who actually coined the term unschooling. The idea is that you tap into a child's intrinsic desire to learn by setting them free to explore.
Astra, can you explain the philosophy behind unschooling?
Most people have an idea of what homeschooling is. It's having school at home. Unschooling is sort of a radical cousin to that, and the idea essentially is that we are learning animals. That's a phrase from John Holt, who actually coined the term unschooling. The idea is that you tap into a child's intrinsic desire to learn by setting them free to explore.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 10.
A pair of newlyweds were so steaming mad at wedding no-shows, who originally said they would come, that they slapped them with a $120 bill to cover their costs. The no-shows were given a payment due date of 1 month from the August the 18th invoice sent by the newlyweds, whose wedding in Jamaica cost $120 a head. The groom stressed that it's not about money, but rather about the fact that he and his wife felt hurt and disrespected by the no-shows at their hard-earned dream wedding. A pair of newlyweds were so steaming mad at wedding no-shows, who originally said they would come, that they slapped them with a $120 bill to cover their costs. The no-shows were given a payment due date of 1 month from the August the 18th invoice sent by the newlyweds, whose wedding in Jamaica cost $120 a head. The groom stressed that it's not about money, but rather about the fact that he and his wife felt hurt and disrespected by the no-shows at their hard-earned dream wedding.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 11.
It's imperative that we protect, sustainably manage, restore, and preserve our soil to its capacity to fulfil the multiple roles that it has as a sink, a sieve, a filter, source of nutrients, and a source of food. And I think data collection is going to be really important in this. Data is probably more important than sentiment. We need a comprehensive monitoring system, an exchange of best practices on soil protection, and we need to engage in the challenges of technology. It's imperative that we protect, sustainably manage, restore, and preserve our soil to its capacity to fulfil the multiple roles that it has as a sink, a sieve, a filter, source of nutrients, and a source of food. And I think data collection is going to be really important in this. Data is probably more important than sentiment. We need a comprehensive monitoring system, an exchange of best practices on soil protection, and we need to engage in the challenges of technology.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 12.
Herders in Mongolia are using instant messaging services like WhatsApp to advertise the sale of their livestock, the state news agency reports. In the past, I had to contact professional retailers to sell cows, but now business comes to me, says a herder, Nasutu. As most phones don't have Mongolian language keyboards, the herders take photos of handwritten notes and upload the images. Herders with smartphones no longer have to spend days combing vast areas of grassland searching for other herders willing to do business. Herders in Mongolia are using instant messaging services like WhatsApp to advertise the sale of their livestock, the state news agency reports. In the past, I had to contact professional retailers to sell cows, but now business comes to me, says a herder, Nasutu. As most phones don't have Mongolian language keyboards, the herders take photos of handwritten notes and upload the images. Herders with smartphones no longer have to spend days combing vast areas of grassland searching for other herders willing to do business.
End of the listening section.